This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. Our goal is to create a real faith for the real world, and we hope this helps you grow. For more information at Christian Life Center, visit us at our website, www.berwynag.org. Thank you.
Luke 19, we go through our lives, you know, go through a lot of different things that cause us pain and anguish, distortions of truth in our life, discouragements, things like that. And the problem with that so many times is that our life is really a beautiful thing. What God has given to us in life is really a beautiful thing. Think about it for a moment, if you will. The sun shining, cloudy day or not, you know, just a beautiful, beautiful thing that God has given us in life. You probably don't deserve another day alive, but God has given you one today. Aren't you glad for that? Yeah. Amen. So I'd like to ask you, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I'm desperately trying to reboot this thing, that's why I'm distracted here, that as we go through this passage of Scripture, that you would really concentrate on today. It's easy for us in the midst of a day like today. We're begin Holy Week, you know. And so we right away jump ahead. You know, you're like one of those people who read the last page of the book to find out who done it, you know. A lot of times we do that with Palm Sunday. And I want us to concentrate specifically on Palm Sunday, on what happened on this day. And so as we get ready to read this passage of Scripture, I want us to try to put aside the cross. I know that's almost sacrilegious for a preacher to say, but if we could wait for Friday for the cross and for next Sunday for the resurrection, amen? I know every day is Resurrection Day, and I know every day we celebrate the cross, but today's Palm Sunday. I want to talk to you about what happened on that day, that wonderful day. We miss it sometimes because it's sort of like an also-ran. You know, it's like something we just kind of come over with. So let's see if this thing wants to cooperate today. If not, we'll just go by my memory, which means you're all in. I'll try to get you out for dinner. Let's see. Luke 19, verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And when he came to the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.' As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, 'If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side, and they will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls, and they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." So this is a passage of Scripture where Jesus is coming. We call this the triumphal entry. It's the celebration of Jesus coming to this way. If you think about Jesus, all his ministry, every bit of his ministry had some form of reaction, some form of adverse negativity that came against him. From the very beginning of his birth, you know, we see Herod going out to try to kill the Christ child. And so from the very beginning, there's this blowback. And so, and then, and of course, along Jesus' ministry, Everywhere he goes, demons are manifesting, mockers are mocking, spiritual leaders that aren't so spiritual and aren't much leaders, they are trying to pull him down and try to come against him and try to cut the knees out from underneath him. They are trying to mix around what it is that Jesus is saying, twist his words, make it so that he is, in fact, seen as a blasphemer, someone that they can distract from. And so as they do that, we see Jesus going along and enduring that. And it seems that Jesus becomes expert at this. He's able to turn their words around. He's able to the resistance that he feels everywhere, he's able to turn those things around. And as he does those things, he's able to keep on doing ministry. And we see in this day that Jesus is saying to his disciples, go off and get this colt. Now, Jesus has set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem, the scripture says, that he determined that even though he knew what was going to happen, he knew that Good Friday was coming, and he saw Easter in the forward-thinking way that he could, but he recognized that between where he was now and Good Friday and the resurrection, he knew also that there was going to be this time where he was going to have to suffer greatly. And so he had to determine himself to go and do what God's will was. And so as he did that, he faced this opposition all the more. As he's facing this opposition, he makes this determination that he will do that. And so he's traveling with his disciples and probably with a lot of crowds on that day, on that road, as he's going along. And they get to a place near Jerusalem, but not quite there. And as they get there, he tells his disciples, go out and get this colt, this donkey. And so he sits on that donkey, and they begin to continue on in their journey. He's sitting on this donkey the same way a king would come into a city. And he's walking along, and as he's walking along, for the very first time in any of his ministry, Jesus suddenly hears something he's never heard before. He's heard himself be called the devil. He's heard himself be called the child with no father, a bastard child. He's heard himself be called a lot of different things. But at this point in time, Jesus experiences something tremendous. It says he's sitting on that, the scripture says, and as he's sitting on that donkey, they're right going along, and they're kind of coming up, and there's a blockage there. There's no way to see. As they get close to Jerusalem, there's no real way to see that. As they come up that mountain, then they come up, and they come over the crest of that hill, and as they come over the crest of that hill, suddenly the city of Jerusalem is visible for him. And he looks and he sees, and he can see the Temple Mount, and he can see the people moving in and out. He can see myriads of people bringing sacrifices into the temple. He recognizes this holy week, this holy time. And as he brings them in, sees them into the place and follows the road down with his eyes, he recognizes this is the apex of his life. This is the most momentous occasion of his life. And suddenly then, he hears from the voices of the people around him what he's never heard before. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. He hears praise to him. Jesus has never in his ministry ever heard praise from a crowd of people in the way that he hears on that day. Oh, there's been the occasional leper that was healed that came back and said thank you, and the person who was healed or provided for who said thank you. It was even a woman who wept and wiped his feet with her tears and her hair. But never has Jesus heard a crowd of his disciples recognize him for who he is. Hosanna, which literally means Lord, save us. Think about that. For Jesus to hear the cry of the people and hear that said, that this is exactly what he's come to do. And they recognize this is exactly what he's come to do. It must have been overwhelming for him. It says that he was moved to tears as he gazed upon Jerusalem and said, how often I would have gathered you, right? If you would have known the day of the Lord's visitation, all this tragedy that's about to befall you would not happen. But you missed it. You missed it. He addresses those people who are, in fact, have resisted him. And so as he goes through that, he recognizes his purpose and his plan for that exact moment in time. He goes to the Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem he's going to give some of his deepest teaching. He's going to say, unless you fall to the ground like a kernel of wheat, you'll never really know how to bear fruit. He's going to say things, he's going to live out the full demonstration of what the Passover Seder was. The bitter herbs that represent slavery and the bone, the unbroken bone, and the just various things in that scenario. The afikomen, the bread that's hidden. You know, in the middle of the Seder, there's a piece of bread. There's three pieces of bread, one matzah, and one of them is broken in half and sandwiched between the two, wrapped in a cloth and hidden somewhere in the house. And the youngest is supposed to go find that. And when he finds it, he finds this matzah that is broken in half. This broken matzah is the prize. It's the bread of life hidden. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." So in the process of this, Jesus now takes over the Seder and co-opts it and says, "This is my body broken for you." Think about that for a second. This is the apex of the moment in his life when Jesus is going to do that. This is all going to be fulfilled on the cross for Jesus as he's teaching and guiding his disciples. And he gets to this place where he's revealing who and what he is and all this. And as his disciples are all gathering around, and there's a sense of camaraderie, the sense of that we're all together. Now, there's that moment on Good Friday when they all fragment and run away. But for this moment, everyone is together. It's powerful. And Jesus has to be thinking, yes, I'm going to Jerusalem. All this is coming together. And as they are praising him, they're waving around these branches. I was teasing my grandchild today, and I said, "Look, they gave you salad that you could take home and eat for lunch." These are symbolic of victory. Jesus is riding in on a donkey the same way a conquering emperor would enter into that town. And they're waving these palm branches. We see in Revelation 7 and other places in Revelation that the palm is used as a symbol of victory. And so as they're waving the palm, they're demonstrating that this is the victor who's going to take over this kingdom. It's amazing, really, the symbolism that's happening there. It's almost as if the people couldn't have known how true it would be. And so Jesus is amazingly coming together with his disciples, and he gets there and he receives this praise. Why do we praise God? Why do we praise God? Praise God according to Psalm 18 because he is worthy. He is worthy. Psalm 18 reads like this. "I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies." It's a recognition of who God is. When we praise God with the intentionality that we will be his children, that we will be We recognize who he is. You know, so many people go through life without the recognition of who God is in their life. Yeah, I sometimes don't get why people don't get excited when they're talking about Jesus. I don't understand why people don't praise God. This is really the challenge to us. The people who know God have praise on their lips. That's really the truth. If you know who God is, you have to stop and say, "Thank you, God," all the time. There has to be praise in your heart all the time. Why? Even when things are going bad, even when things are a struggle, even when you're going through the doubts and the hurts and the hopelessness and the disappointing parts of life, you can still give praise to God because he always remains worthy. He's the one that, if you know God, he's the one that you can put your hope and your trust in. He's the one who you can rest in that. Even though you might not understand what you're going through, even though you might not get or might not understand what's happening, you still know who God is, and so you can praise him by faith. God is always worthy of praise and adoration. There is never a day, never a moment. I mean, you can praise God anywhere. You can praise God you'll find me sometimes down on the farm with my hands lifted in the air in the middle of a field praising God. You'll find me praising God in the front seat of my car. You'll find me praising God in the shower. I love to praise God when I have no clothes on. Something about that. Standing, that's the way he sees me anyway. Just to let you know, he sees you naked too. Right? But he sees who you really are. I love to praise God. I start my day off every day with that shower and stand in the shower and praise God for all the things he's done. I do math on the foggy windows in my shower. I do all kinds of things, but I love to praise God in the shower. I sound best in the shower when I'm praising the Lord. I don't know about you. I sound the best. I love to be in the presence of the Lord. I take opportunity over and over and over again. And yet I see people sometimes who come in, they sit in the middle of a worship service as though they're sitting on their hands and there's no expression whatsoever. And they will tell you, well, that's just the way that they are. As if they don't get excited, if their exciter is broken off. I don't know if that's you, I pity you, you know. Did you get excited on your honeymoon? Did you get excited when the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup? When they won it for the second time? When they won it for the third time? Did you get excited? Don't you get excited about anything? Isn't there something that you get excited about? I mean, if you really knew what you were doing when you were praising the Lord, you would know that you're in the presence of the worthy one. Who else can you trust? Who else is worthy of trusting God? Who's worthy of me investing my soul? Who in the world could I possibly give that? So the power and the purpose that God has in our life is so that we can recognize His worthiness, His strength. We can put ourselves in Him. It says that we can praise Him because to the faithful He shows Himself faithful. Psalm 18 is a wonderful psalm. And so you can take your life and plant it in the arms of Jesus and recognize that He is faithful, He is worthy, He's the one who can make this work for us, you know. And so we praise Him. Whether we're having a good day or a bad day, whether we understand what we're going through, trust me, I've had some days recently where I didn't know where God was, but it doesn't make a difference. God is, you know, I came to the point at one point where I said, who else can I go to? Who am I going to do? Am I going to call the president? He's going to take my phone call? The president doesn't take my phone call. If he did, I would have been making a lot of phone calls. Who else am I going to go to? But you see, I can't go to anyone else. I only know one who's over all, one king of all the kings, one Lord of all the lords, one who is above everything. There is one. You know, this is the story of the Bible from the very beginning of the Bible. This is the story from Genesis all the way to Revelation. In Revelation chapter 7, we see that it says that the prophet actually comes to a point of weeping. And I wept and he wept, he said, because I looked and no one was found worthy to open the scroll. And then the angel comes and touches him and says, listen, you don't fret, don't weep, because the Lamb is worthy. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is worthy to open the scroll. There's only one who's worthy. That's the point of that passage, is that there's not a single person that's worthy of your trust except God. You see, and we praise God, we exalt Him because of who He is and because of what He is able to do, where He can take us, what He can do for us, what His plan is for us. And we don't always know, but God is in the midst of that plan. We see that this is the way to enter in. Thank you, sir. This is the way that we enter in with a praise. This is the way we always enter in. It says in Psalm 100, to enter His presence with praise, and to enter His courts with praise, to come into it. And every time we come before the Lord, we should be praising the Lord. Every time we come to the Lord, our first step should be praise. Now, I understand if you're driving your car off a cliff, you're not going to go, you know, whithersoever thou goest, Lord. You're not going to be starting some praise. But I understand. But if you are, and you might just want to go straight to Jesus, save me, as you're going off the edge of the cliff, right? But if you have a moment, take the first moment as you go into the presence of God and praise Him. Amen. Recognize who it is. It's not your buddy. It's not the big guy. It's God Himself, God Almighty. And in reverence and in praise, we come to Him. Jesus taught the same thing, by the way, in Matthew chapter 6, where He taught the disciples how to pray, and He told them to begin with, hallowed be thy name. That's a recognition of the holiness of God, who God is. So we always enter into His presence with praise and with thanksgiving and with purpose to go before Him. So as we do that, we come in and recognize that in spite of the fact that we don't understand Him, He is worthy. And in spite of the fact that we don't always get what God's doing, He's in the process of doing something powerful. God deserves our respect and our adoration. You know, no matter what I disagree with God on some things. Like Job, there's times when I disagree. Remember Job chapter 2, verse 10 says that in all this, Job did not sin because he didn't mouth off to God. I confess to you, I've mouthed off to God a few times. when things happened that I didn't understand. But if we recognize who we're speaking to, when we are able to praise Him and give thanks to Him and enter into His courts with thanksgiving. So I may disagree with God. I disagree with God on a couple things. And so I think He should do this way and this way. And I think that person is no good and he should be able to see that. And that person, how come he doesn't recognize that? And so as one of the Lord's own advisors, he systematically ignores, you know. I come to you today and I tell you that even though I don't understand Him, I have to praise Him. You know why? Because He's smarter than me. Look at your neighbor and say, He's smarter than you too. He's smarter than you too, yeah. When you get mad at God, when you don't understand what's going on, when you don't understand why this, why that, why the other thing, you recognize, come on, God, there's got to be a break here. You enter into His presence with thanksgiving, and you enter in His courts with praise. You enter in with the acknowledgement that He is going to do something amazing in your life if you would just keep pressing through. And though you are angry, and though you may be discouraged, you press through because you know in whom you have believed. And you join your voice with the saints of old, and you join your voice with the angels who are singing in heaven 24/7 all the time. And you join your voice and you speak the truth. Thou art worthy, O God. Thou art worthy, O God. See, praise is so much deeper than we can understand. It's a form of subjugation of my will. I'm able to bring respect and adoration to God because I realize that I'm not who I think I am sometimes. I bring myself down before Him. Keeps me from barging into His presence and demanding things from God. When I come into His presence, I recognize who, you know, I have to use some winsome ways. I come to the Lord and worship Him and adore Him for who He is. I'm not trying to twist His arm. I know that He knows what I'm doing when I come in there, but I want Him to recognize that I recognize that He is Lord over everything. Third thing we see is that it is a form of warfare. The story of Jehoshaphat found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Amazing story. There's a prophecy comes to... Well, first, Jehoshaphat finds he is surrounded by an entire army, and as he's surrounded by this entire army, he realizes that Judah is in trouble. Jerusalem is in trouble. And so it says that he declares a fast and he begins to inquire of the Lord. And he seeks the Lord, and as he's seeking the Lord gives him the comfort of the prophecy of a prophet named Jehaziel. Jehaziel says to him, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this army, for the battle is not yours, it is God's. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord." So Jehoshaphat takes God at His word through the prophet. He does not ignore the word of the prophet, but rather he embraces the word of the prophet. He says, okay, if we're going to go into warfare, and my soldiers aren't going to have to fight this battle, then I'm going to take away the temptation of the soldiers. I'm going to put the soldiers behind a line of singers. I always think that these singers must have sang just a little bit louder than they usually sang since they were on the front line. Those guitar players must have played a little bit louder, strummed a little harder because they knew they were going to meet the enemy head on. And so as they were going, they began to praise the Lord. Jehoshaphat told them, I want you to say these words, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." And so that's what they said as they marched into this battle. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. No more. They didn't sing, they run on the city, they march on the wall. Great is the army that carries out His word. Right? That's a wonderful worship song about locusts. Anyway, some of you Bible scholars will get that later on. The idea is there's no warfare song. They're singing about the goodness of God. They're singing about His love. They're declaring the praises of His character. God is forever to be praised. And as they march in there, the scripture says, as they began to sing, the Lord set ambushes against the enemy. The Lord took care of that. Why? As they began to sing. See, praise is spiritual warfare as much as it is recognition of who God is. It's an acknowledgement not only that God is worthy of praise, not only an acknowledgement that you need to be humble, but it's an acknowledgement that God Himself is fighting on your behalf. Sometimes life gets so rough that all you can do is praise the Lord. Sometimes things are so ununderstandable that all you can do is praise the Lord. You should know that as you do that, you're dispatching angels on your behalf as you're praising God. As you're thanking the Lord, you're saying, I'm not going to let this get me down. I'm going to recognize for who you are. You are Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You're Jehovah Rapha. You're the God who heals me. You're the God who, you're El Shaddai, the big-breasted one, the one who can take anything. Lord, I recognize who you are. And as you begin to praise God, you should know that things in the spirit realm begin to loosen up a little bit, and warriors fight on your behalf as you do that. Because praise is more than just a personal humbling and a personal acknowledgement of the worthiness of God. It's also an acknowledgement that God is fighting on our behalf. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That we should be praising the Lord on a continual basis, because not for things. Doesn't say give thanks to the Lord because your kid's a heroin addict. Doesn't say that. It says give thanks to the Lord in the circumstance. If your child is going through difficulty, if your friend is going through hardship, you don't thank God for the hardship, but you thank the God who is bigger than the hardship. You recognize that God is bigger, He's stronger, He's more powerful than all these things that you could ever imagine. And so in every circumstance, God is worthy to be thanked and praised. In every circumstance, God wants you to have a praise on your lips, the sacrifice of praise on your lips, the fruit of your heart, giving thanks to God. And so as you're going through this, no matter what you go through, you recognize that God's power is there with us. Through the tears, through the pain, through the questions, through the doubt, through everything you go through, God wants you to be lifting Him up in praise. He wants you to, see, because we know the answer. We know the answer. You're the only one, perhaps, in your building. You're the only one in your apartment. You may be the only one at your bus stop that knows who God is. You may be the only one who knows in your place of business. You should represent God well with that. You should represent God well with that. There should be praise on your lips. We don't have the luxury of being downcast. Oh, get over it. Your guy didn't get in. Let's talk politics for a second. 1 second. Get over it. Right? Oh, they were all going to screw us up and spend more money than they probably would anyway. So what's the difference? Right? Who's your trust in? This party or that party or another party? I would hope they don't have a party, because it just costs us money when they have a party. Let's just get in the presence of the Lord and have our own party. Don't be fretting. Sometimes you see Christians and, oh, things didn't go well. I asked my boss for a raise and he didn't give me anything. Well, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. Or do you think Jesus fell off the throne? That the world's spinning out of control, off its axis. No, God in His wisdom knows the things that are happening in our world. It's not always right. Things aren't always good. There's poverty. Although, you know, I watched a TED video. You ever watch TED videos? I love TED videos. But I watched a TED video, and this guy was talking about we should have a more positive attitude. 2 billion people have had poverty alleviated in our lifetime. Think about that. We hear, oh, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And the reality of it is, the percentage is less. There's more people, perhaps. But the idea is that we're already tackling these things. Let's smile a little bit. Why? We know the answer to this question. Oh, you know, there's a reason why politicians have to steal your money. It's because we're not sold out enough to give it away. In Jesus' name. Okay, that's enough politics right there. If the Lord really had our hearts, we'd be meeting all these needs, and politicians would go, hey, we're going to go on a vacation because the church is already doing its job. We should be thankful to Almighty God for the strength to endure one more day, for hope of healing in our hearts no matter how sick we are, for the good that tends to be obscured by the bad. That's where the whole 2 billion people saved from poverty in our lifetime. But we don't recognize the good things. I don't mind if you tell me about the problems, but tell me about some of the things that we did right. Tell me about some of the things that are happening right. That's a bad parenting tactic, to always find negative in your kids. Right? Why would we think that God does that with us? God sees good things. He encourages us. He lifts us up. Yeah, there's stuff that needs to be fixed in there. And probably some of us do need a swift kick. But the thing about it is, God doesn't mete out that to us. He blesses us. Give thanks to God for the company of the saints that walk with us through troubled times. Do you realize how blessed you are to be a part of a family of God that comes alongside of you and lifts up your arms? Helps you when you're going through, when you've tapped out, you have no more strength. This is, I don't understand Christians who don't plug into church. I honestly don't. They're like the Lone Ranger. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, for crying out loud. Let's get into a church and let people love on you a little bit. You want to keep yourself the secret mystery man? You're going to be going through stuff by yourself. Just you and your faith. And there are times when everyone's faith grows weak. There are times when every person's faith grows weak. And who do you call then? You know, you have to call upon your brothers and sisters who come and lift. They come over and have a little prayer meeting around you at the altar on Sunday morning. Maybe stop by your house and lay their hands on you and say, come on, let's pray you through this. And you may be saying, you may be at the point where you're saying, I've already prayed. I'm tired of praying. Well, you just receive, we're going to pray for you. Come on, that's how we do it, right? That's how the body of Christ does it. Praise God for the privilege of prayer. You know, it says, if my people, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people will humble themselves, right? Verse 15 says, then I will incline my ear. I will incline my ear. That's a promise of God. God sometimes doesn't move as fast as I think He should move, but God's on the move. Don't give up on Him. Don't give up. He is faithful. He is faithful to finish the work that He started in you. It's a weak faith that only gives thanks in comfortable times. It takes very little faith to praise God for the abundance on your table. Very little faith to thank God for the blessing that's right in front of your eyes. It's very little faith that is truly thankful for the things that are laying out in front of you. But when you don't see, and when you don't, but you still trust, when you, by faith, go before the Lord and say, I'm going to praise You, Lord. I'm going to magnify You. I'm going to give thanks to You no matter what difficulty I'm facing in my life. That's when you start to find yourself overcoming. It changes. It changes the attitude in you. It releases the powers of heaven to fight the demonic forces in you. It gives you the ability to overcome. There's times when nothing has changed except that I've praised the Lord. And when I pray and I praise the Lord and suddenly the prayer hasn't been answered, I don't see a single thing evidence that the prayer has been answered or is going to be answered, but suddenly I feel better about it. You know, because I know into whose hands I've laid that thing, you see. Well, after all, what good does it do for me to sulk? Does it do for me to go, God's not doing it my way? Doesn't do any good. I have to just determine that I'm going to overcome this thing by His strength and His power. And I have to be a person who puts the praise of God on my lips. It is a good and right thing. It is commanded of the Lord for us to praise the Lord. One of the, you know, the scripture gives us a sign of a person who's got a spirit-filled life. It doesn't say that they have a secret prayer meeting. It doesn't say that they have the gifts of the Spirit flowing right behind them. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that there's signs and wonders and healings all around them. It doesn't say that. In Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us the sign of a person who's filled with the Spirit is that they speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, that they sing and make music in their hearts to the Lord, and that they're always giving thanks to God. It's annoying. They're always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There should be, you know, sometimes people around here will say, people who work with me will say, oh, I can tell you're in a good mood because you're whistling. I'm a whistler. That's what I do. Why? Because there's overflow. I sing songs that I forgot most of the words to. You do that. You sing. You have the songs. Glory to the right. You sing those songs, right? And you make up the words because you can't. But it doesn't make any difference because it's coming out of an overflow in your heart. We should be the ones walking through our workplace who got a on the inside of us, flowing through us, right? We should be something on the inside of us, flowing out of us. When rather than obsess about the negative, let us just be praising God for the good things that are happening in our life. Your marriage would be better. Your friends would like you more. Your boss might give you a raise. People around you, but you say, well, what has God done for me? Well, He sent His Son to die for you. You worthless piece of trash. Isn't that it? Isn't that it? And I'm being kind. That's not the words I was originally thinking. He came to die for you. You should be going, thank you, Jesus. Right? Every day. Come on, everybody. Every day. Every day should be a gospel showcase in our life, you know? Right? Don't you think? Think what people would think of you if you just did a little George Jefferson as you're walking into the office. Right? 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 People say, what's going on with you? I got Jesus. I have no idea how we're paying these bills. I don't know how we're making payroll. I don't know how any of that's going to happen. But I got Jesus, and so I'm okay with that. We gotta carry it with us. We gotta bring it. Don't come and get touched on Sunday morning and leave it at the altar. Take it with you a little bit. Let people hear you. What is that song you're singing? All to Jesus I surrender. Right? I love singing old songs. I had a song in my heart over here. Seth was strumming something on the guitar, and I was singing an old hymn. I don't know where it came from. It just fit right in with that. I can't remember the name of the hymn. Don't ask me. That's what happens when you get old. You just make up the words as you go along. You know? Next week, I'll be able to hide my own Easter eggs. Doesn't make a difference. You know? Just keep making up the words as I'm going along. There he is. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Name of the Lord is like a high tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. You see, we need to be the people who are worshiping and praising God. There needs to be something that's flowing out of us. There has to be a little joy in the journey. Right? There has to be a little joy in the journey. Otherwise, we're going to dry up like old prunes. Right? So we have to begin to praise the Lord. So my question is, what about your private life? I mean, I heard you this morning singing praises to God, but what about when the band is gone and nobody picked out the words for you to sing? What about in your quiet time when you're sitting there? Do you ever turn the TV off and go, thank you, Jesus. I just want to praise you for who you are. I don't get what you're doing. I don't know where you're taking me, but I'm willing to go because you're my shepherd and you're leading me a long life's way. And I just want to give you praise, Lord, because you're a good God. Right? As Mary prayed in the first service, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I just sing that to you, Lord, I shall not want. I shall not want. I praise you, O God. I praise you, O God, for how good you are, how good you've been to me. I praise you for how much you love me. I praise you for the fact that I am never outside of your love, Lord God, that you are boundless in your love. Your love reaches to the highest heavens, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the praises that flow out of my heart every day, Lord, for all the good things that you have satisfied my needs. You've increased the borders of my life, Lord. You have blessed me over and over and over again, and I don't acknowledge anyone but you, Lord. You are the one. You are my supply. You are the good Savior of my life. You are the one who's walking with me. Come on, somebody, give Him praise this morning. He's a good God. See, praise and worship is the highest privilege of any human being. The highest privilege is not being elected to some big office or making a big paycheck from your company. It's not being put into some position where you have more responsibility. The highest privilege is to go in and talk face to face to the Creator of your whole life. That's the greatest privilege. Every human being, even people who aren't believers, should be giving thanks for their life to the Creator. But you see, we go a step further. We go a step deeper in. And when we step in, because we know Jesus, we know in whom we have believed, a good God, who loves you. He never gets tired of you. Never, ever gets tired of you. Sometimes my kids will come in and say, Dad, and I'm like, oh, man, again. Oh, like you don't do that. But when we go to our Father, He never does that. Oh, He doesn't say, oh, here comes one of those troubled children from Berwyn. They are a mess. They are a mess. That's not what God does. He says, angels, open the doors. That's one of my children. Let him walk all the way in up to the throne. We approach His throne uninhibited. We come in and we say, God, here I am. I just want to tell you this morning, I'm not looking for you to give me anything. I'm not looking for you to provide anything for me or to fix anything that's broken. I'm just here to say to you, God, I love you more than life itself. I love you more than life itself. It's better than sweet wine, Lord, to be in your presence. And when we begin that conversation, God just loves on us so much. There's been moments in my car where I've cried for miles as I drove, not out of sadness, but out of gladness, because He's still with me. He didn't give up on me even when I gave up on myself. So I'm so grateful to follow a living God. To be who God has called us to be, there has to be praise on our lips. I'm not saying you should do it to get something. I'm saying you should do it to do it, because when you do it, it's done. Amen? Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope you were blessed by it. If there's anything that we can do to help you further your relationship with God, we would love to be a part of it. You can contact us through our website, www.berwynag.org. Thank you, and God bless.